Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Well, it's been less than 2 weeks since a deeply disturbed teenager lawfully obtained a small arsenal of military-grade weapons and ammunition and used it to execute 19 children and two teachers in an Uvalde, Texas elementary school. Sadly and amazingly, however, the horrific tragedy seems to have left North Carolina Republican lawmakers unmoved. Indeed, rather than tackling the problem of gun safety or addressing a court order to adequately fund our schools, the lawmakers instead unveiled and advanced a version of Florida's controversial Don't Say Gay law that would further marginalize and ostracize LGBTQ kids and place new and onerous burdens on teachers. And earlier this week, I got a chance to talk to one of the state Senate's most passionate and articulate critics of the move, Wake County State Senator Jay Chaudhry. Senator Jay Chaudhry, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Yeah, great to be with you, Rob.
The short session is finally up and running. Lots of high-profile legislation being under consideration right now. One that you've spoken out on previously and that's attracting a lot of headlines is this so-called Parents' Bill of Rights, which seems to be sort of the North Carolina version of this Don't Say Gay laws that have been going on across the country. You drew some pretty sharp comments about that, especially as it contrasts the real crisis that's going on in our public schools these days.
Yeah, Rob, the Republican leadership, they've stated that this bill is different than the Florida Don't Say Gay bill, but I think the spirit of the bill remains the same. In fact, today is Tuesday and the Senate Rules Committee has just heard the bill. We heard from a number of folks that testified at the committee that the bill, in fact, is harmful to members of the LGBTQ community. But there are broader consequences with bills like this. As I stated in the Education Committee meeting last week, we are returning to an HB2 style bill that I think will have real economic consequences for the state. I think it will hurt our ability to recruit companies, to recruit and retain talent. We actually heard from a human resources officer at a local global technology company today about this. And so it appears to me that the Republican leadership really has learned nothing about what HB2 did to our economy. And secondly, to your point, Rob, the fact that we heard this bill the day after the shootings in Texas, I mean, it's heartbreaking. It's shocking. It frankly angers me that we couldn't even use the committee hearing as an opportunity to talk about what we need to do to keep our kids safe. Because as I said, really the only parental right that I'm concerned about, at this moment, given the fact we saw what happened to 19 elementary school children, kids, frankly, that are my age, is that this committee was willing to do nothing and say nothing.
We know for a fact that there are common sense gun safety rules. They're not going to solve the problem, but they would make a dent, clearly, and would save a lot of lives. They're supported by overwhelming majorities of voters. And yet, even just passing something as simple as giving away free gun locks to people seems to be controversial in the Republican-led Senate that you have to serve in.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, look, I think on one side of the equation, we hear a lot about mental health. And frankly, I don't think we've solved that issue. So, let's have a deeper dive and a real conversation about that. I am concerned that a lot of the money that we may be plowing towards that are frankly non-recurring dollars where we need to spend more money on psychologists, counselors, and school nurses. But on the, on the other side of the equation is access to guns. I mean, you and I know that a lot of common sense gun reforms, such as a universal background check, overwhelmingly poll favorably both with Democrats and Republicans. And, the fact remains that we still are not willing to do anything because, so many of our members are basically under the influence of the gun lobby here in our state legislature.
Yeah, I'm kind of struck by this argument I've encountered in which folks who are opposing gun safety laws say, well, this is a mental health crisis that we've got on. Kids are detached. They're living online. There's so much change. Families are disrupted in our society. What they don't seem to note is that those exact same problems are happening all over the modern world in all kinds of countries. But for some reason, those other countries don't seem to have mass shootings with children killing dozens of children. And I can't imagine that it's really anything other than just access to firearms, which ultimately leads to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think when you look at gun violence in the United States compared to other developed countries, to your point, there's stark disparities in what we're experiencing in this country. And it's a real epidemic. you know, frankly, I think as folks think about what elected officials are going to stand up to the gun lobby and advocate for gun reform and, you know, those officials that aren't, I mean, there's real opportunities to make changes in our state legislature.
We'll be watching that very closely. One last question about the so-called Parents' Bill of Rights. I wonder if it's been discussed the fact that, you know, there are children who come to school quite often who are wrestling with fundamental questions about their identity, who they are, how they're going to get by in life, who sometimes confide in school counselors or school teachers. And I wonder what it will do to those kinds of relationships if all of a sudden those counselors and teachers were to find themselves immediately required to disclose to the parents every single thing that the child confided in them. It begs the question of what that really does to the health of the teacher-student relationship and just the health of our schools in general.
You know, you're absolutely right. And this was actually raised in the Rules Committee today. I mean, look, as a parent of younger children, I absolutely believe that parents should be involved and that we have a right. But I think if we look at the bill is yet another mandate coming from the government, you know, dictating what teachers and school counselors and nurses and psychologists ought to be doing. Because I think what this bill does not take into account is exactly the scenario that you're talking about. You know, a child that comes, visits with a school counselor, or visits with a school teacher where they have a trusting relationship and where he or she does not come from a safe home environment. And I think we need to take that into account because in many ways, the counselor can serve as a real safe harbor for that child.
We're talking with Wake County State Senator Jay Chaudhry about the goings on at the 2022 short session of the General Assembly. One somewhat more optimistic note that we've been learning a lot about in recent days is the whole concept of Medicaid expansion being back on the table. And some of your Republican colleagues who talked about it in such contemptuous ways for so long, I don't know what's happened. They seem to be repeating the arguments you were making for years about why Medicaid needs to be expanded. Are you taking some hope from this?
Yeah, look, I think there's reason to be optimistic about the fact that the Republican Senate has done a 180 and that the leadership there seems to now have had an epiphany about something that Senate Democrats have been fighting for the last 10 years. But, you know, I think that's the good news. Look, I mean, I think the challenge kind of going into short session is the bill is not a so-called clean Medicaid expansion bill, which means that the bill is not a standalone bill. It also has other provisions that are somewhat controversial. There's a provision that focuses on scope of practice issues for physicians and non-physicians. And there are also certificate of need reforms, which you know, you and I know really kind of help dictate where we establish satellite offices that might provide, you know, advanced medical care. And those issues are quite controversial. I don't know whether, you know, the fact that this bill has become a Christmas tree bill will ultimately cause problems for the bill to pass the House. But certainly we know publicly that Speaker Moore has said that he doesn't have the votes in his caucus to pass the bill. I think if we can get enough House Republicans to get on board, there's a real opportunity for us to pass Medicaid expansion, which would be huge.
Yeah, you'd think with just if all the Democrats voted yes, it wouldn't take that many Republicans. But whether that will actually come to fruition remains to be seen. Another issue that seems to be just in dire need of attention at the General Assembly this session is school funding. We have a court order that's been upheld multiple times that our state is not meeting its constitutional obligation to provide a sound basic education to its school children. We've got a court order that's found that we're billions of dollars short of doing what the Constitution requires. There appear to be billions of dollars in the bank, but no indication yet that we intend to spend those on that incredibly important need.
We are sitting on a massive surplus of dollars now with our state budget. I mean, I think it's close to $6 billion. That is well within the amount that we can fund to cover our state constitutional obligations to make sure that every child gets a sound basic education. You know, the interesting thing is, Rob, is if we tie this back to our first topic of conversation, which is really about parents' rights and making sure that kids have a safe space and that we're trying to prevent school shootings. I mean, in many ways, the recommendations that have been made by Governor Cooper focus on a lot of the preventive aspects and frankly, also providing the mental health services that so many of our kids need coming out of the pandemic. And so I don't really view this as a Democratic Republican issue. I view this as a student first issue and doing doing better for our kids. I mean, ultimately, you know, investing with our students is investing with the next generation of workforce employees that we have in our state. And I continue to be disappointed in where the Republican leadership, you know, focuses on. And that seems to be more on tax cuts for big out-of-state corporations than investing in our kids.
Yeah, it is sort of sobering. We hope eventually perhaps there's a breakthrough, a 180 on this school funding issue as well. One last question I want to ask you about, we're talking with Wake County State Senator Jay Chaudhry, is the issue of medical cannabis. It seems like, speaking of issues in which North Carolina is finally joining the national trend, albeit a little late, perhaps there's some headway being made here that at last, long last, perhaps North Carolina will join the list of states that's not criminalizing people who use marijuana for medicinal purposes.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think this would be a good first step if we could legalize medical marijuana. Virginia has now done it. As I've said, I feel like the farmers in Virginia have a leg up compared to mm-hmm. our farmers here in North Carolina. There are issues of tax revenue that we lose as a border state. I mean, I think the bill is a good first step, but, you know, there are a couple of issues with the bill that we have expressed to the Senate Rules Chair, who's been pushing this. One is to make sure that we put in place a community reinvestment fund that takes some of the revenues that's generated from the sale of medical marijuana to go back and invest in those communities that have been hardest hit by selective enforcement of marijuana laws. And secondly, I think we would like to see kind of a North Carolina first bill that really allows kind of growers and processors and manufacturers to be part of kind of the legalization of medical marijuana, so that it's not limited to just those companies that do what we call seed to weed, kind of growing to manufacturing to the distribution of marijuana. So I think there are real economic opportunities. We've had a number of hearings on this, so I'm remaining optimistic that there's a shot for us to have medical marijuana legalized here in the state.
As listeners will realize, Senator Jay Chaudhry of Wake County, one of the most passionate and best informed state lawmakers. Senator, as always, thanks so much for your service to your community and our state. And we just look forward to staying in touch and hopefully talking about some good news later on in the year.
Okay, keeping my fingers crossed, Rob, and always great to be with you.
Coming up next, how can it be that hundreds of families displaced by Hurricane Matthew in 2016 remain homeless? NC Policy Watch reporter Lisa Sorg joins us to explain the disturbing details. Don't go away.